Lord God, as we are aware, we are a blessed people. And Lord, as our offering has been taken up this morning, I pray that you will bless it abundantly for the purposes of which you intend it to be used. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 9, reading verses 10 to 17. It's on the screen if you'd like to follow. Otherwise, it's in your church Bible, page 733. Is that right? Happy dance. Jesus feeds the 5,000. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with his hand, and then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethesda. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd," about 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading this morning.
Well, here we are. Good morning, church. It's good to be here. We're in our fourth and last week of the I'm In series that we've been doing. I'm invited was the first week. And we looked at the story of the lady who came and broke the oil on Jesus' feet. And there were many parts of her life which she could have easily said, "This disqualifies me from being invited into a relationship with Jesus." And we looked at that week at what it looked like for us, that there are many times that we have that narrative for ourselves where we say we're not worthy, we're not welcome because we don't qualify. And what we learn in that first week of being invited is that it doesn't matter what our history is, Jesus wants to engage with us and forgive us and allow us to live a life that is a life of shalom, thriving, a life of peace, and that he wants to give to us. The second week we looked at, I'm invaluable. What does it mean to be invaluable? That we actually have a part to play within the story of God's church within this valley. Within the broader Christian church, we have a part to play. We always tell ourselves, well, you may not, but I often do, "Oh, that's, somebody else is way better at that than I am." And we're almost self-deprecating to the point where we hinder pointing to Jesus, that he's the reason we do what we do. We don't think of ourselves as valuable and as of people of worth, that we have something to offer the kingdom of God, and so we sit back and watch on. And last week we looked at, I'm influential. You're influential. And why are we influential? And that's purely to bring glory and honor to God. And this morning we look at, I'm in. I'm invested. I've got some buy-in. I actually want to be a part of this. I want to go into this year, I want to go into this week, this month, this year, this new decade, and be able to say, I've got buy-in. I want so much to see that people in our community know that they are needed, that they are known, and they are noticed. Who else has gone throughout life and thought, oh, I just need to race off here, race off there, I've got things to do, I've got a diary to keep, I have so many tick boxes to meet today, and I just hope that they all line up. Anyone else ever thought like that? There are often times in my diary and yours, I'm sure, where there's not a whole lot of margin. You only need to take one car park, otherwise known as traffic jam, otherwise known as the Centenary Highway, to wipe out all of your plans. How about the people that were travelling down the M1 the other day, wanting to go on holidays, 7 hours later were still on the same piece of road, right? That wouldn't have been part of their to-do list. Sometimes I think we look at our diaries and we say, well, we've got nothing left. We've got nothing left. And in having nothing left and saying, well, we don't have anything to spare, so I can't give anything, who's guilty? Me. Absolutely. We can certainly resonate with the story that's been shared this morning, where they had 5,000 people in front of them. That's 5,000 men plus women and children. We're probably talking more like up to 20,000 people that needed to be fed. I can assure you that I've worked alongside our emergency services team where they did 22,500 meals. It took more than 5 biscuits and a tin of sardines. Believe me, the volume of food that went out was only minuscule to the seeds of hope that were planted right across our country because of that influence. But here they are saying, oh, we've only got this amount left. Many years ago, and I still sing it from time to time in my office for those that have to endure that, we sing a chorus that says, I have not much to give thee, Lord, but all I have is thine, right? It probably has nothing to do with this passage of Scripture, but probably more to do with the story of the widow's mite, where she gave all that she had. Now, you could easily sit here this morning and think, oh, he's about to talk about money. And I'm not talking about money at all. Actually, that's the furthest thing from what I'm going to speak about this morning. Because I think that we all have been given something from God, and we're created not to store, but to pour. We're not created to store, but to pour. We're not created as a water tank that stores up for a rainy day God's goodness. He asks us to be a channel of His peace. He asks us to be a channel to pour out upon this thirsty land who, we're not talking about rain either. I think that there's a real drought of hope within our communities. There's a real drought of God's grace. There is so much hate out there when we have the gift of God's love and grace and mercy for us to keep that stored up in a sort of well that we don't want to share with others is quite frankly criminal. We have the gift of life in Christ Jesus, and for us to keep that to ourselves, that's not what we're created to be. We're created to pour out, to be His vessels within this community. We have teachers right across this valley who are going into schools this week, and they're going to be needing God's peace by about 1:30 on Tuesday afternoon, I'd say. If it was me as the teacher, it'd be 9:05. Just being honest, if not 8:55, really. I share this tongue in cheek. I do RE once a week, and I tell you that's the longest half an hour, hands down. I stress so much. It's 40 minutes, really, but I stress so much about it. And I think my teacher that I was with last year took it as entertainment because he could see someone who was like a cat on a hot tin roof. But We share, we know that those teachers go into the schools not as teachers, but as full-time ministers of God's hope, full-time ministers of His grace, full-time ministers. They are going to speak into lives of children that I will never even meet. There are children that they will come across in their workplace that will never darken the doors of this building, will never call Fast Salvos home, but they will experience God's hope because of the full-time ministers that will go from this place. The same can be said for people who are farmers, for the people who are in any other profession. They may well be labeled another profession within society, but they're full-time ministers of God's grace, of His hope. There's opportunities for us each to be invested in making sure that people are needed and known and noticed. And there have been many times where I've failed in that too. I often think about people, and I haven't checked this with him, but there's a guy that comes to our church. I'm not going to name him because it's being recorded, but we all know who it is, and he's a paramedic. Can you imagine the grace that he gets to minister to people in their darkest hour? I think it's a wonderful opportunity to be a full-time minister. We don't have enough to give. We don't have enough to give. Well, let's give what we have and let God do the rest. Let's give what we have and let God do the rest. When we start with a scarcity mindset, we will end up living by being driven by fear that what happens if we run out? If I was the guy or one of the guys that was handing out of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that's right. I always get that around the wrong way. But 5 loaves and 2 fishes, I wouldn't have even got past the first group of 50 before I thought, we're going to run out here for sure. We're going to run out here. A number of years ago, Debbie and I had a loaves and fishes story where we experienced loaves and fishes, and I still get speechless sharing this story. When we were part the officers in another town that we were appointed to, we had 135 families that came to us for Christmas hampers at Christmas time. And we had spent 4 or 5 days unpacking them, packing them up, making sure that everybody had exactly what they needed for the families. And then 5 minutes before we closed up for the Christmas season, you can imagine there's empty boxes everywhere. We'd expended all of what we gave. A community organisation came to us and said, we've got a family that we just really need to get some help for. There's 12 kids in the family. And I said, yep, we'll do it. Thinking to myself, oh, I'm not sure how we're going to pull this off. And I then made one of the scariest things I've ever had to do, and that's go and say to my wife, you know those 135 families that we've already helped? I've just said yes to one more. And she goes, oh, that's okay. There's 12 kids. The colour ran out of her face, and she said, Wes, you know we don't have any toys left. And I said, yeah, I do. I do know that. And there was some crazy thing inside my head that said yes when I should have said no. Because what I could see on the landscape was absolutely no way, no one, that we're going to be able to pull this off. And she said, so why did you say yes? Well, we're talking 5 or 6 years ago, and I still don't know why I said yes that day. But what I do know is that every time we went to a box that we thought was empty, there was more toys in it, more toys in it, more toys in it. We sent bags and bags of toys to that family when we didn't know, we thought we had none left. I cannot, it could be bad organization, but I am convinced to this day that God provided. Where we had nothing left, God provided. Here they are, those same 12 men, and they're saying, well, all we've got is this little kid's lunch. And that's not going to feed all these people. They're looking out in front of them and they're saying, no way. And God says, I will make a way. Trust me in this. Did you notice that God, when he came and worked in that space, he didn't give them more than when they stored it. He gave them more when they poured it out. It was when they gave of themselves, when they said, yeah, I've got buy-in and I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that people are needed, known and noticed in our community, that he blessed it. When you keep, what you keep is all you have, but when you give it, God multiplies it. God multiplies it. So it might be time. It could be our talents. It could be treasures. But it's so much more than that. God has given you gifts that you can use for his glory. He has given you an influence within community that I could never have. Because I don't know all the people that you know. But you have influence in their lives to speak hope, to be the minister of God's grace. I am a firm believer in that it's the priesthood of all believers, that we all have a role to play. It is not just Wes and Debbie who that responsibility falls to. But we all have a part to play in taking those five loaves and two fishes and allowing God to use what we see as our small offering. And he blesses it and it comes back in abundance. They were left with 12 baskets over. When we say we're invested, we're saying that we've got buy-in, that we're actually saying yes. I know that people are invited, that people are invaluable, and that people have influence, and I want to be one of those people to make sure that our community know that we need them as much as they may need us. That we've got a hope that we want to give. We want to make sure that where there has been a drought and a poverty of hope, that we bring the rain of heaven into that space and that God's Holy Spirit would impact and bring nourishment to dry and parched soils. What God gives me, a feeling of being invited and being influential and being invaluable, I want that to flow through me. I want it to be poured out, not stored up. So as we come to the end of our series on I'm In, I wonder for you whether you feel like you're in, or you know what, I'm out. That could be it too. But I think for each of us, we can resonate, I'm sure, with feeling invited, that doesn't matter what's happened in our past, that we want there to be an opportunity for us to come into relationship with Jesus, that we are invaluable. What we bring to the table is actually of value and of worth. So much of our society tells us that we're not good enough, that we live out a world of deficiency language. We don't want that. We want to live in the land of the overflow, the land that God gives to us. I'm invested. I may not have much, but what I do have, I'm prepared to be generous with. It's not an act. It's a mindset that we're prepared to be generous with that. What God gives to us, we allow to flow through us. So, are you invested? You definitely are invited. You may not think so, but you're influential. And you're definitely invaluable. So I wonder this week, I wonder whether today, whether you're prepared to say, I'm in. I'm in. I may not have much. You might want to be singing that chorus in your mind. I have not much to give thee, Lord, but all I have, whatever it might be, it might be an encouraging word. It might be where you notice that someone hasn't been here for a while, or you haven't connected with them for a while, so you flick them a text. Let them feel like they're noticed and they're needed. And known. There's a power, isn't there, when you see someone. When you see someone, there's a power in that. And we want people to know that no matter what the cost, that they are a valued part of our community and that there is a hope that only Jesus gives. Let us each be a channel of His hope and grace and mercy to this community and to the communities right throughout the scenic rim and beyond. Let's not be a reservoir or a tank, a water tank, but let's be a channel to see our communities impacted by the love and grace of Jesus. Let's pray. Loving God, we say thank you for all that you give to us. We hear the rain on the roof earlier, and we say thank you for the gift of the rain. Lord, we say thank you for all that you give to us each and every day of our week. And we would ask that you would continue to use us and to allow others to know that they're invited, that they are invaluable, that they're invited to be part of the family of God, that they're invaluable, and the work that they do is absolutely of value and of worth, that they have influence within this community to bring glory and honor to God. Lord, we pray for each person this morning that they would have the prompting of your Spirit to be invested and to say, I'm in. I'm in. I want to make a difference in my community, whatever it takes. And Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen.